thank you all for joining us on the 20th episode of Podcast Geek Culture. Today is a jam-packed show. Joining me tonight are Mir Jam.
Hey guys, how's it going?
And our Fath Ali Khan.
Hello!
Wow, dude, you sound... that sounded painful, actually. Is there something stuck up somewhere we don't want to know about?
Why you talk like this?
I'm just playing with you. Alrighty then, this week we're going to have a lot to discuss about anime as well as games. No movies. The show is going to be way too overboard anyways. So yeah, we've stuck to the regular stuff. So Arafat, before we all begin with the anime stuff, how was your week, everybody? Was it fine? No stress, no job stress, no study stress.
Stress is there, but...
Yeah, it's fine, man. Yeah, it's all good, you know?
You found enough time to, you know, relax, play your games, watch your animes, movies.
I think
yeah,
you found a lot.
More or less. Apart from, you know, the internet getting cut every so often. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah, let's just quickly touch on that. Somebody tweeted, I think one of our friends tweeted this day before that, you know, the underwater cables were cut somehow yet again. And the way, of course, was, well, the whole of UAE probably... was affected by this. We started realizing this when latency for games were like getting like mad. And then yesterday you like experienced this firsthand, Mir, when playing some games and online, and then you know just all over the place.
Well, what happened was that I think it was Thursday night we were playing, and Arfi and I were experiencing like connection problems in the sense that if you're playing Battlefield and we were connecting to the servers. It was taking a lot of time to connect to the servers. Mm-hmm. And then it was taking a lot of time, like longer than usual, of course, for updating our stats. But
yeah, but
once we got into the game, it was fine. The game was as usual, not laggy. It was basically... and Thursday night was fine. Yesterday, when I went online to play, I had, like, ridiculous lag.
Hell broke loose. That was fun.
We were going back to private level 1 again for some reason.
Yeah, it was basically having difficulties updating our stats and connecting to the servers.
Yeah.
But today I checked again. I played a bit of FIFA. It was fine. So I hope it's back to normal now.
Oh, well, we'll find out throughout the week. But, you know, underwater cable cuts are no big deal.
Yeah,
we found out about this when...
not able to play Farmville, man. That's like crazy. 2 days, no Farmville.
Like...
sacrilege.
That's
seriously.
Like,
it's, you must be like LOLing all over the place.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, these things, they do happen every once in a long while.
Hopefully.
And,
hopefully.
When was the last time? Wasn't it early 2008?
It was
recent.
Right? It was last year, I remember. I think it was last year, September.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
That was recent.
Oh, well, whatever. Well, this will get sorted out as well. So let's begin with animes we've been watching. Arfi, have you watched anything?
Could take a wild guess.
Justice League.
Yes!
Okay, don't go into details. Tell us that out of the X number of episodes in total, how many have you finished now?
I think out of about 90-something, I'm at 60-something. Yeah, so close.
So two-thirds of the way down. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
How's the progression so far?
It's nice. Some of the themes are getting quite interesting. There's a lot of continuity as well building up now between mm-hmm. episodes, which is very nice.
But do you feel that there's some central theme and it's all going to like you know come together in the end where there's going to be some massive standoff?
There is. Something hinting at that, so I'm really looking forward to it. I hope it pays off.
Oh, well,
is that series a procedural? I mean, like in the sense, like every episode has its own specific story, or is it a continuity?
For the most part, yes, but you have some central themes going on.
The earlier episodes, there were usually two-parters and some three-parters, but now I think when it moved to the second season, I don't know if it's broken into seasons or whatever. But now they're all more or less singular episodes, bar the occasional interesting double episode and stuff. So it's good. I thought there'd be more
to be continued or something like that.
Now, you know, the sort of underlying themes are what keeps you going sort of thing.
Okay.
No, yeah.
That's good. okay, so anime. Spring season. We're still on it. We discussed a couple of animes last week. And Arfi, I mean, I know you're not interested in anime, but at least you know what we're discussing.
I am.
But I mean, okay, not, you know, like deep.
Not as us. Not as...
Yeah.
Yeah, not as us.
Into
not,
it as
not
us.
Not as maniacal as us. But the thing is that, you know, we... So what we've done is that for the spring season, at least, we are just discussing the first episode itself, like what happens in the first episode, and then we let the viewers and, you know, the other host decide, you know, whether it sounds good enough or not. So
I like how we do this every... Like for the last 2 years since Deekaz has started, we've been doing this on ADB and like go into calendar. April, we see whichever anime and we like divide... animism between us two and then we sit and review it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's
like
pretty
it.
Much what's been going on. Well, before we used to write, now we're too lazy, so we podcast.
Yeah, we just like we just talk.
God damn. Anywho. Alrighty then. Me, you wanna start off with anything or do you want me to go first?
you go first, cause the anime which I was gonna review last week, which I didn't get to, you've already watched it, so we'll talk about it like simultaneously. In the sense we'll go back and forth.
Okay, so the first anime that I'm gonna review, or you know, just provide my initial impressions on, is Hakuoki. So it's the full title is called Hakuoki Shinsengumi Kitan. This is a period piece, like back in the late 1800s. So you have like the I don't even know what period it is called, but anyways, late 1800s, Japan.
Western, yay.
Sort of, you can think about it like that. See, Shinsengumi was a, it wasn't a task force, you can think of it like a special, you know, special police force division that was created by the emperors over there. I don't know, I might be getting this totally wrong, but I know that they were a police task force. And these guys were, you know, basically over there to, control, you know, civil unrest. Because there was a lot of that popping up during that time. So the story follows a group of, I think it's about six or seven, these guys who are like in a small subsection within the Shinsengumi. So no idea what happens, like, you know, what these guys are like, you know, tasked with. It's all sort of mysterious. So the anime starts off with a young boy who looks really like a girl.
You know, it's that.
Okay, let me continue. So like, you can tell that, you know, it's a she. The person's a she. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, there's like huge boobage or anything like that. Like the way, just, you know, some of the facial features. Anyways, so he's like hiding behind this box and there are some people running towards him. Maybe he's like stolen something or whatever. He hides behind a box. These guys are like, you know, just searching around the area for him. Suddenly, one of them gets stabbed. Like he's seeing the shadows of these guys, like, you know, like a sword penetrating through the stomach or whatever. And then he's freaked out, who killed the police? And he sort of, you know, peeps through, and they're like these two people who are, they aren't exactly zombies, but they are, their mouths are all open and, you know, they're like walking sort of slowly, but they're also sort of smiling and they're like waving their swords around, like they know how the moves work. It's not like, you know, just regular zombies just, you know, blindly going.
Okay.
So they stab these two guards. And then what happens is that one of them sees the little boy hiding behind the cover. So he comes towards him, and then some other dude comes in, and he just like, you know, like proper elite samurai style, just like dices them into, not pieces, but yeah, he does a job. And then he sees this like little kid. He's like, okay, yeah, you gotta come with us.
What? Oh, okay. Sorry. That sounded really wrong, but carry on. Sorry.
So he gets captured. They then bring him into, like, they capture him for the night, tie him up and stuff, and then they take him, like the little kid, to the not a little kid, I mean it's probably something. So they bring him to the some sort of a hearing sort of thingy. So all the heads of this small little group, they're all like, the entire group is basically assembled. So all like 7-8 of these guys, they're all sitting over there. Kid tells them, you know, why am I here? They're like, yeah, you saw something you weren't supposed to see, so you're gonna have to die now.
Oh no.
It's like, no, I didn't see anything. Like, I swear I didn't see anything. And, you know, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. So they asked him, like, you know, what were you doing? And he was like, you know, I came in search of my father over here. And, you know, he was like, I lived in some remote village And my father was a doctor. Then he went from Osaka to Tokyo. And he used to write to me every like day or week or something like that. And then suddenly like last month his letter stopped, so I'm over here to search for him. And they're like, okay, so yeah, so you did see what happened last night. Because then concluding his story, he told them that, you know, then these zombie type things attacked them. And they're like, yeah, so you saw that. He's like, oh yeah, but I won't tell anybody. So anyways, these guys are like sort of deciding between themselves, you know, what to do. And then they ask him like, you know, what's his name and his dad's name. And then he tells his name. And then they're like, oh, so you're professor or whatever his name is. I forgot his name. So they're like, you're his son? And he's like, yeah. And then
Professor
they're like,
X. You know,
this son? And then he's like, no, no, but I'm searching for him. And they're like, okay, yeah, I mean, you know details about him and where he lives. So, you know, you must be related to him. So they're like, okay, we'll let you live. You have to stay over here for the time being until we find your professor, because we were also looking for him. He was involved in some work for us. Again, they don't tell him absolutely anything about what was going on, what those zombie-type samurais were doing. And they're like, you just like have to stay with us. We're going to take care of you until we find your dad. Now, before he's leaving, then one of them says, so like, you know, you want to have some food or something? We'll bring it over to you, like, you know, over the next day, and you want some change of clothes or whatever. And then, you know, one of them points out that, you know, oh yeah, that it's actually a she, like he's a girl. And then the girl freaks out and she's like, how did you know? And then all the other guys are like, dude, what? Anyways, then she reveals that, yeah, she is a girl. And they're like, okay, wow, this is going to be so nice, like, you know, having a girl around the whole...
A samurai girl.
Yeah. Not a samurai girl. She's just like a wimp, man, whatever. Like, she hasn't displayed any elite skills whatsoever. I don't even think she can, like, handle a sword. She was cowering behind when these guys were running after her. If she was some samurai, she'd actually have, you know, some skills. Throw a kunai or something, whatever. So... it was a video game. I don't know when it was made, but anyways, plot looks interesting. Here's the thing. The game that this anime is based on was targeted at female players, women. So it has a lot of, you know, the male character design is extremely, you know, they're trying to portray them as like the most handsomest of them all. Thankfully, it's not going into the Twilight category. Otherwise, I would have puked halfway through and, you know, did it forever. There's some intrigue in there. And, you know, I can understand that, you know, the themes are semi-mature. I mean, it's not like, you know, a reverse harem going on with one girl. it's sort of a serious anime. So, you know, so far, I mean, I'm intrigued. But yeah, that's all for now.
Man, ninja western with zombies? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's intriguing for now. They didn't reveal way too much in the beginning. Right. I mean, you just got a hand of, you know, how all these seven or eight guys, like, you know, the characters basically. You know, somebody's too serious, somebody's too funny, somebody's like, you know, the vice captain, whoever he is, who's the main protagonist. He's like, you know, he's a reserved, mysterious type dude. So that kind of thing. And then this girl is just, you know, sort of caught in between all of these guys in some zombification experiment going on, and her dad's missing. So yeah, like I said, interesting premise. Let's see how it goes.
Before you continue, a viewer asks, what happened to Hero Man?
Okay, yeah, I downloaded the second episode, couldn't even bring myself to watch it, so I deleted it. Man,
I watched a trailer for that, and I just laughed at myself, and then I closed it on YouTube. Yeah, so, it's so bad.
Listen, here's the thing. Hero Man is, if you have never seen anime ever, then Hero Man is a mildly interesting entry into the genre. But if you do watch anime, if you do watch a lot of, you know, like Justice League type cartoons, absolutely avoid this anime at all costs.
I mean, I watched
what studio is making this? They're all prestigious people, but this is a piece of shit. Do not
It's a fail, as you term it these days.
Like, this is why we review these things, people, so we can go through this and then inform you guys of, you know, of the decisions of, you know, like, we're not making a decision for you. You can still go ahead and watch it. But that's what I'm saying.
That's what D-Culture does for you.
Yeah.
We tell you
we watch the
what
shit
not to do.
So you don't have to.
Not necessarily.
I should be like...
we do the good stuff as well. And encourage,
I was saying,
you fun.
I was going on to say that I watched the trailer, and I mean, I don't speak Japanese, but even without speaking Japanese and after watching like a shitload of anime, I can say that the voice acting was pathetic. It was that it was that bad. Like, I could, and even the person who subbed it was bad. Like, there were some sequences in the trailer where he was talking, and there was no subtitle, and I'm like, what's going on? Is there like a specific lag for YouTube? And then I went onto another trailer from the same subber, and it was bad over there as well. So I'm guessing the subber was bad as well. He was just like a hobbyist. You
know, honestly, don't even bother with that. Okay, so anyway, that was Hakuoki Shinsengumi Kitan. Now, talk about an anime that Mihir has finally watched. And, well, I don't know whether you watched this, but I watched the second episode, so I'll be coming to that. Ichiban Ushiro no Daimo.
No, I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it?
No, I didn't watch it.
Okay, here's the thing. We classified this anime last week as ecchi. Ecchi as in, you know, there are like hints of, you know, nudity.
There are no hints.
You have some innuendo and stuff. Okay, so here's the thing. The version that I watched, this was the normal airtime in Japan. So pretty much anything that was, you know, going overboard, these guys censored it. Not censored it in terms of mosaic censoring, but it was like, you know, if some side cleavage was shown, they'd like, you know, sort of darken out that part or something like that. So that kind of censoring. What? Now, Mihir watched the completely uncensored version, which I didn't even know existed. Why don't you tell us about that a little bit?
Okay. I didn't watch it, but I got this from the suburbs.
It's okay, it's okay, dude. I mean, we're all guys over here.
We're not judging.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I got the episodes, and then I was planning on watching it, and my mom was in the room, so I was like, okay. He said it's ecchi, and he said there's no nudity. But I just fast-forwarded through the... Like, I just kept, you know, going on segments to see if the subbing was right and if the encoding was right and stuff. And suddenly I get into a point where last week Taimur described the scene where, like, the main character is having a duel with the chick. I'm not sure what's her name because I haven't watched it. But, and he completely destroys her, and, basically there's fragments of cloth covering her in intimate areas. But in my episode, there was nothing. So I went into a frantic mode to press Alt F4, and thankfully my mother did not see that. But anyway, so I will watch it later, but when discreetly, very discreetly. Let's just say that.
Okay, so here's the thing. It's rated at 8.27 on IMDb right now, which is ridiculous considering the second episode that I'm just about to mention briefly over here. So, Arfi, in case you didn't, obviously you didn't. So, just a quick briefer on the anime itself. Takes place in, I don't know, whatever. The setting is such that magic is an established rule in the world, and there's this one city, which is an academy, a magical academy. So main guy over there, he goes, and on the way he meets like one of the girls on the train, and you know, they're sort of like form a friendship over there. And then she's like, you know, I'm from one of these families who are tasked to protect, you know, like sort of the guardian type. They're like, you know, like samurai families and stuff. So she's like from one of those like clans, high level clans over there. So she's the youngest one over there. And, you know, it's in her blood and, you know, in her sort of character as well to, you know, like, defend the truth and justice and all that shit. Main dude over here, he's like, you know, I want to be the High Lord or something, which is basically the equivalent of being a pope. Like, you know, you have to be very pure of heart, innocent, and, you know, all that stuff. Like, you're doing for the good. And he, like, the way he talks and, you know, everything, the way he behaves, he's like, you know, I want to do something good in this world with the magic. Anyway, so what happens is that, you know, like in how in Harry Potter you have the sorting hat that, you know, sort of in the first year it tells, you know, what student goes to what house. You have a similar thing over here. So this bird, it predicts everybody's future job. And, you know, somebody is like given a magical engineer, somebody's like, you know, magical guardian, stuff like that. This dude walks up and it's like the bird's freaking out, and then it says, yeah, you're going to be the demon overlord. Everybody flee, like, everybody freaks out. There's shit going all over the school, and then people are just like, you know, like running away from him. And then, so and then the girl whom he formed friendship, she's like ultra pissed. She's like, oh, dude, what? You lied to me, etc., etc. And then, you know, she like starts fighting with him, and then he tries to defend himself, and then, you know, some energy beam shoots out, and pretty much the whole classroom is destroyed. Like, oh, literally, it's destroyed. And he doesn't know what's going on, because, you know, he's just defending himself. And the chick is like almost naked. Clothes are all ripped to shreds, etc. Good times. So anyways, he tries to like, you know, apologize to her. He goes to her dorm. She's pissed out over there as well, because she's still, you know, half covered in bandage. She's like, I'ma kill you. So they fight again. This time he goes into a super saiyan mode or something. Pretty much half the forest is destroyed. She's barely, like, there's just like shreds of thread hanging on her body. You can't see anything in particular, but you know, it's pretty obvious. So that's where the first episode ends. Now, second episode begins, and, you know, he's like, oh shit, I'm so sorry, this and that. And okay. She's like, yeah, I don't want to talk to you ever, you know, stuff. Because she's, you know, embarrassed. She's supposedly pretty powerful. And this dude, like, you know, literally single-handedly almost destroyed her. So fun times.
Yeah.
What happens is that she's a student leader or a council leader or somebody like that. She's in a senior position, for the girls' dorm. And she's apparently one of the school's idols. So she meets him and she's like, oh, so you're the prophesied demon overlord. He's like, yeah. So she's like, okay, you know, and he's like, but I didn't mean to do it. And she's like, yeah, I believe you, whatever. And he's like, oh, wow, the idol of the school, she came up to me and she believes me. This is so awesome. And then he was like, yeah, I want to apologize to the girl who I almost, like, you know, unintentionally raped twice. And she's like, yeah, it's okay. I'll fix a meeting for you. She's like, you know, so you've pretty much, like, you know, destroyed her twice. So it'd be nice if I'll tell her to come and meet you in this, like, specified place. If she doesn't agree, or, you know, if she becomes too aggressive, then, you know, just give her this. She hands him, like, some sort of, some pistol type thingy. Like, you know, it's like a dart sort of tank thing. I'm not really sure, because he doesn't use it. So, she gets over there, and okay, what happens is that in the meanwhile, the school board, they assign one sort of robot. She is supposed to be, you know, like, looking over him, like, you know, just observing him. So she's literally observing him all the time. Like, you know, when he goes to the washroom, she's standing in front of the stall in the men's washroom. So at night when she sleeps in his cupboard on the top, etc. So there's some, like, freaky... You can see that this is a harem. The funny part is that, you know, it's all about the interaction that these guys are having. So next day he goes up to this, like, jungle kind of place, and then the girl finally comes in and he's like, yeah, you know, I want to just apologize. And but before he could do that, we find out that the school idol, she's like some sort of evil woman, and she's like, yes, the demon overlord will be in my grasp. And then the episode ends. So from being interesting and funny, it became not necessarily ecchi, but yeah, I mean, if you thought the first episode was ecchi, yeah, have fun in the second one.
Nice.
It became too, you know, typical of these sort of things. Like, you know, okay, there's magic. This one dude, he's too powerful. He's, like, you know, ripping to shreds everybody's clothes. They're all gonna fall for him. Yada, yada, yada. There's some, like, evil woman who's actually... So it's becoming very typical, and honestly, I don't understand why it got an 8.27 rating out of 170 votes. Okay. This shit, I'll watch the third episode. I'll give it another chance, because the first episode was interesting. If it continues at the same pace, then yeah, I'm probably going to drop it. Not worth watching.
Basically,
right now, wait for the third episode for me to review, and then...
It delved into cliche territory, you say. That's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. I mean... It's not like, you know, the animation is mind-blowing or something, that's one of the factors that keeps you, like, you know, sort of semi-interested. Animation is okay. Characters are, you know, they're becoming one-sided now. I mean, you understand these typical guys, like, you know, where they're coming from. And the story is sort of becoming predictable as well now. So, let's see. And this is just the second episode. I could be wrong. Hopefully, I am wrong. Let's see.
Any idea, like, have they broken the, like, how many episodes this show is going to be? Like, is it 12 or 26?
I can't see anything, but I'm thinking it's going to be 24 episodes. If it's 12, I'll be happy. If not, then, you know, I mean, I'll probably drop it. Again, it depends. Next week, I'll have a full review of this.
Nice.
Cool. So, okay, before we... so, Mihir, your turn.
Well, the anime we both watched, well, for this week is...
Wait a second. Can you just repeat that name? Because your voice cut off for a second and it sounded weird.
Kaicho wa Maid-sama.
Okay, yeah. And you're the only one who watched it. I didn't, unfortunately.
You didn't watch it?
No, okay. I didn't watch it.
I thought you watched it. Anyway, so Kaicho wa Maid-sama is it's a romantic anime, and it's based around this one high school teenager. I think her name is Misa-chan, and she's in a school which is basically filled with they give you a proportion of 80% to 20% boys is to girls ratio, and she's the high school council president, and so basically she's with this uptight, you know, control freak who basically hates how men. How men think of women, how they treat them, in the sense like they.
Who is
the uptight
freak? Is that a guy?
The protagonist. The protagonist.
Okay, so
her name is. No, the girl, Misa-chan. She's the protagonist.
She's the uptight one who's like.
Yeah, she's the girl. So she's the high school president. She's basically uptight about anything the boys say. And as I've already told you, the school is filled with boys. And the majority of the school is boys. Now the first episode shows us how she's in the school. She's basically controlling things, etc. And then after every day of school, she goes home, and her house. She's basically from a poor family, and and she basically has to help her around the house, and for basically making ends meet, she works at a cafe. Whose the central theme is that of maids. So
okay, nice.
So
she's in a maid cafe, basically.
Yeah, she's a waitress in a maid cafe, and okay. So
wait a
basically,
second. Just a quick note for Arfi. Arfi, you know what maid cafes are?
Nope.
Okay, maid cafes are these regular cafes in Japan. Except the thing is that all the waitresses were serving. They're dressed up as maids, like, you know, French maid outfits.
Nice.
And their purpose is that, you know, they'll just come and, you know, serve the customer, and then they'll treat him like, you know, their masters, in the sense that, you know, they'll attach like certain respective prefixes, like, you know,
sir,
Mihir Sama, or, you know, sir, like stuff like that. They're basically pampering. No, they're pampering their customers a lot, and you know, the charges are like hourly in this place.
Wow.
That shit is like, you know, pretty high.
Is this why you guys want to go to Japan?
No, but I think that's something you might be interested in.
Anyway. So now we know she's this uptight control freak, and this is kind of her, like, her pseudo self, in the sense like in the school she's this uptight, you know, like controlling freak, and now she's working as a maid. So she doesn't want anybody in the school to actually see her in this cafe, because that would like basically taint her reputation. Anyway, so there's one guy in the school, Usui, and he basically is this like macho strong boy, and basically all the other boys he also understands her position, so he doesn't tell anybody in the school, but what he does is for his own self entertainment,
ego,
sick entertainment,
amusement.
He goes self amusement. Yeah, he goes and he tortures her over there. He goes there every day, and he sits and he orders like different food, and basically he asks for Misa. He asks for her specifically as his waitress, and basically it shows this. How these two characters bounce off. Now, I actually, this is the first episode. It shows, and I won't go into the second episode, but I'll say this, I don't watch much of romantic show, like many of the romantic animes that come out, but this one, it still hasn't got much into the romantic aspect of it, but I mean, I can see it going there.
But is it more slapstick comedy?
Yeah, it's more slapstick comedy. It's slapstick. I guess you could say that. Yeah, but it's very witty, and it's not like I expect a lot of moe shit from this anime.
Mm-hmm.
It's moe in the right times, in the sense like, you know, in the maids, in the maid cafe, their dishes like with very moe. Like all the dishes names are filled with like moe. I guess you look at it and you feel this is going to be a moe anime, but it's not, and it uses its comedy very well, and the first two episodes were pretty good. I was surprised actually. The first episode especially was a very very well animated, well done introduction episode, and the second episode continued that. So I would recommend it, and I'll be sure to check this one out. I'm enjoying it, and I'm not sure how many episodes this is going to be for, because I don't think so. It's been broken till now. Oh, the anime is called Kaicho wa Maid-sama. Somebody's asking in the chat room, and so yeah, this anime.
It's funny how people are interested in maid cafe animes, and you know.
You see, that was the hook. That was the hook.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Anyway,
see, even Arfi's ears sort of got up on that. What, maid cafes? What?
Yeah, right, okay.
Anyway, I guess that it's I would recommend watching it, and I'll be checking it out. Hopefully, it'll continue with the same level of comedy and same level of like entertainment as these guys have been giving us. So, check it out.
Ooh. Okay, now final anime of the week, and this is, in my opinion, on the two episodes that I've seen thus far, the best anime of the season. I'll tell you which one and why. Anime is called Angel Beats. Stupid sounding name. Probably, you know, some harem magical shit or something. It's not at all, actually. In a sense, maybe, yes. So here's the story.
You're obsessed with harem.
No. Okay, listen to this. Dude, I mean, okay, let's get serious. Pretty much the majority of the animes are dominated by this theme. Okay, so here's the thing. The anime starts with our main protagonist, that's the name of the dude. That's Yuri. God damn, I forgot the name of the dude. Anywho, okay, so the main guy. He wakes up, and he wakes up in, like, you know, what looks like a balcony on some, you know, on a high place, and, you know, he's, like, you know, wearing... It's like he was unconscious and he just woke up. He doesn't remember anything, how he got there, whatever. It's nighttime, and so he sort of, you know, gets up from the ground, and he's seeing like this girl. She's crouched in front of him. His age, probably like, you know, high schoolers. And he's seeing that, you know, she's looking down and she has a large caliber sniper in her hands. M95 stuff from, what's it called? From Bad Company 2. So she's like, you know, aiming down the barrel, and he's like, yeah, excuse me. So she's like, oh, you're awake. So, you know, she tells him, she tells her name, and then she says that, you know, so will you join us? And he's like, what are you talking about? She's like, you know, will you join us in defeating the angels? And he's again, what are you talking about? Where am I? Why am I here? She's like, oh yeah, you're dead. So, you have to help us defeat the angels. Dude is confused over here at this point. Anyways, he sort of walks up. He's like, I don't know, this woman is crazy. So he walks up and he's looking at, you know, who she's, you know, aiming the rifle at. At the bottom of the stairs, and this is a long flight of stairs, at the bottom of the stairs, there's like this, probably like this 12-year-old looking, like, you know, cute girl. And, you know, she's like looking all innocent and shit, like, you know, sort of oblivious to her surroundings, just, you know, like sort of walking. And he's like, you're gonna kill her? She's like, yeah, we have to kill her. So this other dude suddenly walks up from behind, not walks up, he's like running towards them, and he's like, so did he wake up? So did he join? And he's like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm going to ask her what's going to happen now. So he runs down the stairs and he reaches the girl, and then he's like, are you an angel? And then she says, no. He's like, yeah, I thought so. So there's a girl up on that balcony. She's trying to snipe you. And she looks up, and then...
boom.
Oh no. So what happens is that he asks I don't know, I don't remember exactly what he asked her. He asked her, am I dead? Like nobody's dead around here, right? Or something like that. And then she's like, she just stares at him. These particles form near the right side of her arm, and then it shapes into like this long ass sword that's coming out of her arm, and she just stabs him in the heart.
Oh, sweet.
he goes unconscious, wakes up again, he's in the hospital bed, and he's like, oh shit, that was a bad dream. He just sits up in the bed, his shirt is off, like, you know, everything is fine, his body is like nice, no scars, nothing. He looks on the right side, his shirt is over there ripped and blood is dripping off it. Then he freaks out. He's like, oh Jesus. And then the same guy who came in earlier, like, who was walking behind, who rushed up to them, he's like, you denied, what's it called? You denied Yuri's request. How can you deny our leader? I'm going to kill you. And then he stabs him 100 times with the pole arm. That's so the dude's freaking out, and then he, like, you know, he dies again.
Oh, shit.
So he's died three times already.
Had a very good day, huh?
Listen to me. It's getting exciting. He wakes up again. He's in a room, and it turns out that, you know, there are, like, a couple of guys around him. And, like, you know, a couple of girls, a couple of guys. They're all, like, you know, having a heated discussion. What should we call our club, you know, like... And then he's like, what is going on? And then they sort of explain him that, you know, okay, you're dead. And everybody around here is dead. So what happens is you go into this... It's not exactly a place between you and, you know, the netherworld or wherever you go after you die. It's just that if you don't do anything once you're dead, your soul is erased, essentially. So all of these guys, like this group of, I think it's about 8-9 people or something, their objective is to defeat the angel, that little girl. So to sustain their existence in a soul form, I guess. And then they're like, since you're already dead, you can't die. So, you know, every time anybody stabs you, you're not exactly dying. So he's like, sort of accepting it slowly. He's still extremely skeptical, but he understands that, you know, he is dead now because those guys stabbed him, shot him, etc. He should be dead. So he's like, okay, so what's going on? What's the plan? And then she's like, okay, I'm like the, you know, I'm the student council. She's not the student council. She's just the leader of this small band of people. And then she's like, you know, our objective is to kill the angel. And it's just one person, just one enemy these guys have. And apparently they all live in a school. And in the school, you have like, you know, everybody, you have like teachers and students and all that stuff. Everybody's living their lives normally. And it's a proper dorm, like it's one of those kind of schools, like, you know, stay away from home. So all the children are staying at the dorm, etc. No parents.
A boarding school.
Yes, that's what it's called. My bad. So he's like, why are those kids, you know, just living their lives normally? Why are you guys fighting Angel? She's like, once you start living your life normally, as you should, then slowly your existence will be erased and nobody will even remember you being existing. So he's like, okay, he's still a bit skeptical that, you know, like, how come these guys are fighting? But anyways, he understood that, you know, that angel or whatever she did stab him. So he's like, okay, I get it. So he's like, so then she says, okay, you know, so our point is that, you know, we fight Angel, we try to destroy her, even though we can't, but, you know, we're getting there and, our team is getting stronger and then, you know, one day we'll kill her and then hopefully we'll live here forever in a soul form. To what end? I'm not sure because they can't age. Etc. So towards the end of the first episode, what happens is that there's half of the team, their objective is to steal tickets, meal tickets from the students so that the next day they can go and eat. So he's like, why are you guys eating? She's like, you know, we still need to eat, you know, sustenance. I don't know, so food or something. I'm not really sure. But everything else apart from, you know, killing that angel bit seems like, you know, regular life. Like, you know, people are walking around, sun is shining, children are like doing their homework, etc.
And not dying? I mean, and not aging and dying?
Yeah, nobody's engaging the angel girl. Like, she walks among them and she doesn't interfere with anybody's jobs. It's only when anybody's not doing what they're supposed to, like these guys, sniping her, is when she attacks them. So anyways, half of these guys go, like, in the dorm. It's nighttime and, you know, everybody's, like, out there for the dinner. And half of these guys, they start a concert. Meanwhile, while the concert goes on, their objective is that half of them will be, you know, the rest of the team will be secured outside the dorms to, you know, take care of the angel in case she comes and attacks them. So their objective is that once the concert finishes, they'll, you know, have like these, you know how you have those machines at the end of concerts where they blow like, you know, these confetti type of shit. The objective is to do that. So, you know, like they'll steal the tickets of these students, whatever. So, concert is going on. Everything is nice and calm. It's nighttime.
But, you know, my head is starting to hurt because this anime is all over the place, man.
Listen.
I lost him, like, midway.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, check this out. Anime ends. The girl, the angel, she shows up and she's like, she comes up and to, you know, to fight against our main guy. And since he's the weakest link, because, you know, he's the new kid, she's trying to kill him to, you know, essentially erase him. He shoots a bullet at her legs. That doesn't really work because, you know, she sort of shields herself. Both her arms are like in these blades. Everybody else, like the rest of the squad, they all start shooting at her. I'm talking AK-47s, RPGs and shit. She forms like this distortion field around her, so all the bullets are like, you know, bouncing off and going in all directions. The camera angles they used over here, it was like some proper war scene, man. There's shit all over the place. Bullets, debris flying, ricocheting, everything. In the meanwhile, in the student dorm, there's a concert going on. So it is just crazy, and these guys like sort of overwhelm her. Not because of sheer firepower, but at the end what happens is that once they blow off the screen, then, you know, everybody's, all the students, they just like sort of run outside the dorm because, you know, nice concert, everybody's just enjoying themselves. And the angel, she loses them all in the crowd. And that's the end of the first episode where they all end up the next day having lunch. You thought this was crazy. So, okay, this is the second episode. I'll keep this quick because it's very short. Nothing much happens in the second episode. So she's like, okay, so we wasted quite a lot of ammunition in last night's mission. Now we'll go to our underground secret lab and then we'll get more ammunition. He's like, what is going on? Apparently there is a huge base underneath their school's baseball stadium.
Of course.
And by huge, I mean it's like 50 times the size of the Batcave, dude. There's like huge machinery and like full on off, like construction workers, and they're like pumping out like shells, missiles, bullets and shit, like forming everything. And how they do it is that they just need to visualize when they were alive, how these guns and all these things look like. So they're like forming them out of mud and, you know, some other materials all around.
Awesome.
So what happens is that all of these guys, like the whole student council, all of these guys, they go underground, and then what happens is that these guys have set angel traps, you know, like to kill the angel in case she decides to infiltrate the base. So what happens is that the angel does infiltrate. She is like on some other side, and then these guys, their objective is to reach the center, you know, to the base. So all of these guys are going to the base, and, you know, all the traps are set, and they keep on missing their own traps that these guys set. So somebody drowns, somebody gets like, you know, impaled in spikes, somebody like, you know, a big ass like rock. Yeah, listen, a big ass rock is coming down like this tunnel. So, you know, he like gets squashed over it. Somebody like, you know, the roof starts coming down. So he's like the strong one. He's like, yeah, I'll save you guys. You all run. And then the wall, like, you know, the roof comes and crushes him down. So everybody's dying like these painful, gruesome deaths. And then the leader, like Yuri, she and the main protagonist, she's like, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, their sacrifices will not be in vain, but, you know, they'll are alive, right? Because, you know, you can't die.
Right.
So the whole point was like, you know, the whole Tangenjin factor over here was that, you know, these guys are dying very painful deaths, and it's being very dramatic as well. But they can't die. So they're sort of playing on that aspect. The animation is really nice. And
do they feel pain?
Yeah,
when they die?
That's the best part.
Ouch.
That's the best part.
Like,
dude, man.
Utter anguish, like pain. Unbelievable pain, and they're like, and then she's like calmly walking forward, like she's like, yeah, they'll come up sooner or later. So they're all going down towards the basement, and they finally reach the base, but then turns out the angel also reached it, and then she's like, okay, fine, we'll go make a new base, you all like escape. They blow the shit out of the entire place. Angel goes down within that deep cavern. There's like, it's a massive explosion. These guys, like, how, the first time they shoot the angel, they have, like, you know how you have, like, those 80mm cannons on fucking ships, battleships? They make that, and then they, like, shoot her with a shell. So it hits her, but then the cannon is also destroyed because it was so powerful, the slug. So anyways, then they destroy the whole base, and then the angel goes down with it. So they're like, okay, we stopped her for the time being. Maybe she's not dead. We'll get her next time for sure. So the rest of the factory workers, they go in some new place, and they're like, okay, fine, we'll start creating a new factory over here. We'll provide you guys with ammunition, whatever you need. Halfway through the way, while they're within the episode itself, like, you know, when it's only just the guy and the girl left, it's a time for an intimate scene, as it always is. But over here, he asks her, you know, like, so how did you die? Because most of the time when these people die, they don't remember anything. She's the only person who remembers how she died, her whole family, before, you know, her death. And she was the first one to realize this. That's why she's the leader, because she started the whole thing. So she, you know, she recalls how she, like, you know, some her parents were like, you know, all rich and not rich and stuff. They were like good businessmen, and these like they were like three kids: she, her little sister, and her little brother. When their parents were away, some thieves came in. They tied them all up, and they're like, okay, you're the eldest one. Tell us where the valuables are in this house, because you know your mom or dad would have hid some money or stash or something, right? So she's like, I don't know. My parents didn't tell me. Mind you, she's like an 8 or 9 year old. Well, she's pretty young. And then they're like, yeah, so if you don't get us one valuable thing in the next 10 minutes, we're going to kill off one of your, you know, brother or sisters. Oh. She's like this little girl. She's just like scrambling all over the place trying to find out with, like, you know, whatever she thinks is expensive. She like sees this big vase. She's like, okay, this might be expensive. So she's like bringing it over the stairs. She drops it, obviously, because it's too heavy for her. It's, like, bigger than her. And then, anyways, like, 20 minutes later, she comes down. She sees, like, you know, they've killed both her brother and her little sister. And they're going for her, but then the police comes in. And then, obviously, the police gets them. Later on, I think, like, her mom committed suicide or something because of grief or something. I'm not really sure what happened. Things got, like, really shit. And then, you know, like not recently, but you know, because this event happened to her when she was still a little child. She got hit by a car or something. I'm not really sure what happened. Anyway, she died by that. That was like the whole, like, you know, you have like this whole, like, you know, funny sort of thing going on, like very tongue in cheek. Everybody's having a good time, haha. And suddenly this extremely serious and gruesome story comes on. You're like, damn. So why this is the best anime of this season is it's random. But it is visually very pleasing. The battle scenes, everything is top notch. The characters themselves are really nice. Like really, you know, each and every one of them is sort of unique in a non-cliched way. And, the hero himself, he, you know, he sort of behaves in a way that, you know, you would expect somebody in that situation. Like, you know, he doesn't like openly accept, okay, yeah, this is going on. He's still sort of freaked out by what's going on.
So what's this thing called again?
It's called Angel Beats.
Angel Beats.
Mm-hmm. Simple to understand, simple to remember.
It's animated by the people who were behind Kanan.
Yes, PA Works. These guys actually worked a lot with Production IG. They're actually some of the people they worked with Production IG early in the day. So they helped them with, you know, the Ghost in the Shell movies, Standalone Complex.
Nice.
Solicit Sorazi. So, you know, animation-wise, they have a pretty big pedigree over there.
Yeah. And don't watch Kanan. Don't watch Kanan, though.
Yeah, don't watch that.
No, that's fucking bad. It's bullshit.
Yeah. Only the animation.
Like, it started off good.
I'm
saying it started off good, and then it got so bad that you hated it even more.
Yeah, you're just like, man, oh god, delete / wrists, etc. So this is a good anime, very promising. Again, you know, by the third episode, it could all go downhill. But so far, it's a must see, just because it's completely different, and they're not, like, you know, trying to prove anything. It's just a unique story, a lot of stuff, and yeah. I'm really loving it.
Oh, man.
So, that's it for anime?
Yeah.
Let's start with what we have been playing.
Holy crap, man. You guys spoke for an hour, man. God damn.
Almost 40 minutes. So, now I have almost a sore throat. I'm going to grab something to drink. Arfi, why don't you start off with what you have been playing?
What, you don't want to listen to me?
No, I'm going to drink, so I don't want people to hear the throat movement. Like,
dude, that's just the wrong, gulps. Man. Yeah. I was listening to you.
Talking.
He is listening to you.
I am listening to you. I'm just gonna, like, you know, not be on the mic.
Okay, say that, man. Jeez, I was getting really upset there.
Seek,
you're
seek
way
therapy.
Too sensitive, man. Is it that time of the month again?
Seek therapy,
Arfi. Oh, dear me.
Okay, so yeah, why don't you go ahead with the games?
Well, I finally finished Yakuza 3. Which was interesting because last week I was playing it and I was about 9 or 10% through, I think. So I was just like, okay, well, this is going to take a while, obviously. So, you know, I used to play it every so often, a little bit here and there. And then the thing about Yakuza 3, well, Yakuza games in general, is that they always have quite interesting stories. There's always a mystery. There's always some sort of thriller aspect to it and stuff like that. You know, it unravels and who really is the bad guy and why is he the bad guy and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So
before we continue, are these Yakuza games hard to find? I mean, the first and the second were on the PS2, but are they rare to find? Because I was on Amazon the other day and I saw the prices for 1 and 2. They're going for like $89 each. So what? I was
they
like,
were limited edition runs.
No.
The European versions, perhaps.
Not limited maybe. Edition, like, you know, they branded them limited edition. The copies were very few.
Because they're going for $89 each, and I was like, I was surprised.
So wow.
Anyway.
Shit, I should check if I have my copy, huh? Damn. No, I mean, I did play the first game, and I remember enjoying it thoroughly, and I never got my hands on the second one. But when the third one came along, yeah, it was a definite for me. I mean, I know I've said this in the past, but it's a very Japanese game. I mean, I don't know how to explain that, and I don't mean that in either a bad way or a good way. It's just a style of gaming. It's a style of presentation. It's a style of speech. Everything, you know, it's very Japanese. So if you like that, which, I mean, you guys, you know, you watch anime and stuff, so you probably would, then, you know, I would suggest go for it. But anyway, so I got to about 12%, 13%, and it seemed to me that, hold on, this game is pushing me towards this one guy who would seem to be the end boss, but I'm only 12% through. How does that make any sense? So, you know, after all the convolutedness and stuff like that, and how the guy tries to reform and, you know, all that stuff, and a few deaths as well, which I was actually quite surprised at, like some of the sort of big, one of the major characters also gets knocked off, which was, yeah, you know, they tried to make it all very emotional and stuff like that, but yeah, you know, it wasn't a Final Fantasy VII or anything moment or anything like that. So I get to this boss fight and I'm thinking, okay, hold on, this should be the end, but I guess there'll be more because I only finished now. It was, I think, 14%. But
how many hours were you in?
About 16.
Okay.
But I was doing 17, maybe. I was doing a lot of the side missions and stuff like that as well. So anyway, the game does finish on a kind of shocking note. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And I've only finished like less than 15% of the game.
So you finished the main storyline.
Yeah. Luckily,
excellent.
Yeah, there is something where you can get back to, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto or something, so you can start playing the game again without any of the worry of the
main storyline
and stuff like that.
Because it's been finished, so you're basically retaining your, you're essentially continuing in the world, but you finished with what you started out to do as a character.
Killed character is miraculously brought back to life.
What?
In this version.
What?
Meaning that character was there again. I was just like, what? But he died, you know. But I guess,
out a sunrise, man.
No, more or less, this is just like, they call it the premium adventure version of the game. So you can start off with all the powers you have and just do all the side missions, all the, you know, hitman quests.
And the story is reset or is it not?
The story, it's like it never happened, maybe, I guess.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but I've been playing it and it's fun.
So they understand what the target audience wanted in an open world game. You're done with the story and then you have everything you ever got or, you know, upgraded to. And then here's the rest of the world. But then why not have, like, inclinations of the story going on? Like, you know, it would be nice to, you know, like, visit that one shop or the place of where you kill the main guy or, you know, the main villain's lair, maybe.
These main things are in buildings or in areas that you can't get to otherwise. So when they say open world, to be very honest with you, it's not very open world. There's just a handful of shops you can go into and stuff like that, which annoyed me a little bit, to be honest with you. And also the whole, you know, the fact that the game is still so very Japanese in its feel, the hostess clubs would have been a great addition.
They were there in the Eastern release, but not in the Western release. They took those.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly. That's what I'm really pissed off at, is that, you know, for God's sakes, the whole of the rest of the game has all this Japanese influence coming out of it, and they thought that this wasn't good and, you know, the people wouldn't resonate with it. It's just dumb. But as the game finishes, a lot of new things open up for you to do. I mean, you can play the game again, you know, with all your powers and everything, so you can keep on leveling up. You can play this premium adventure, which I chose to do, which is just doing all the side quests and stuff.
Is it like a low-level adventure, which is like for poor people? Got the premium adventure, like...
Yeah, exactly. Then, you know, you have all these Colosseum fighting. You can fight, like, bosses in, like, these Colosseum tournaments, which I got phoned in and stuff. So there's a lot of stuff to do in the game after you finish it. So... you know, that's what I actually really liked. I was quite surprised that I found myself playing it again. You know, like playing this rest of this adventure, because I didn't think I would want to do that with this game, but by the end of it, it's interested me enough to do it. but that said, it really can't compete, I think, with these other open world games. I don't think it's right even to call it open world, because yes, you can walk around these cities and stuff like that, but there's just so much you can do.
I think that's the point, that people naturally made this between, or, you know, they likened it to something like GTA 4, where I don't think that the developers wanted to be.
Exactly, exactly. Not at all. You're 100% right with that. I mean, they don't want this comparison at all, because, I mean, you know, it's...
It's an unfair comparison, because first off, your world isn't as open, or, you know, you're not trying to go for that market. Plus, GTA 4 is a benchmark-setting game.
Yeah, but then also, you know, this Japanese is all very respectful and stuff. Yes, you're killing people, but, you know, you're doing it with respect, you know?
Nice.
It's all for a reason, you know? It's like,
as long as it looks cool and, you know, you have like an honorable intent behind it. So.
Exactly. And I'm discovering new fighting moves now and stuff that I didn't realize I had when I was actually playing the game, which I'm quite annoyed at. But hey, you know, I'm enjoying it now, because there's just so many fights you can do and these tournament battles and stuff like that. And it's got a good sense of humor in there as well. Like, for example, these all-star tournaments that you can fight, where you can fight all the bosses that you've already beaten in this tournament setting, like this cage fighting setting. You find this woman sitting with a globe, like, you know, like almost like a fortune teller, like in the middle of, like, where she shouldn't be, and you're just like, what are you doing here? He's like, yes, like, because of your connectivity, I can give you the option to go into other game worlds. And it's just like, what? You know?
So she's, you know, a portal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like these crazy things you just don't expect, you know, and it like pops up and stuff like that. So I hope they weren't trying to be serious with that at all, because I had a good laugh when that came along. So overall, obviously, since I don't know, when did this game come out? Do you guys remember?
I think last month. Last month.
In March.
I think 14th. It was the second week of March.
Yeah, 14th.
So I picked it up more or less when it was launched.
Mm.
So, you know, it's kept me going for over a month and more with the main storyline. So I really enjoyed it.
And I mean, let's see, 16 hours for
me. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're not games. Yeah, there are not many games that, you know, keep you wondering. I mean, for God's sakes, Final Fantasy I kind of gave up on after a while as well, because... It was just like, yeah, okay, I get it.
It's understandable.
Yeah, and the one thing that really annoyed me, that didn't keep going back to Final Fantasy, is that you could not walk up again.
That doesn't any...
Yakuza 3, you can watch all the cutscenes, you can do all the stuff you did before. It's the setup is perfect, you know.
And that's something unique, because... I do not know a single RPG that allows you to watch cutscenes. You tell me Mass Effect allows you to watch that?
I don't think so. Yakuza is an RPG. Like, I don't know if it's classified as an RPG.
Yeah.
I'm still confused what it is.
It's a nice hybrid between, you know, these couple of genres.
Yeah, but the thing is, why
beat 'em up as well?
Why would you make a game's cutscene graphics so amazing, and you can only ever watch it once unless you want to invest another 40 or 50 hours into the game? That's just dumb. Anyway, sorry, we weren't talking about Final Fantasy. You can see it's something that I that I am upset about. But yeah, Yakuza, I really enjoyed it and everything. Give it an 8.
Damn.
It's good. It's really good. But I think it's a matter of taste as well.
So too quirky, though.
Yeah, yeah. Some people might. I'm still waiting for this bit where you can actually find. There's one of the sub stories where you walk into one of the shops and then you have to fight like a bunch of guys in diapers. I still want to try and figure out where that comes. I mean, because this game has got these funny things in there, it's just you don't know what's going to happen in the next story because you know some of the things are so silly and tongue in cheek and stuff like that. It makes you want to keep on going. So yeah, I really enjoyed the game.
Cool. Nice.
Yep.
Alrighty then, let's talk about something that we have all been playing.
Mm.
Something new. Well, okay, technically speaking, it's not new. It came out like, a month back? But it was a beta.
For everyone, it was about 2 weeks ago. So.
Yeah, for everybody, it was about 2 weeks.
Yeah, 10 days. Yeah.
We are, of course, talking about the Blur multiplayer beta demo, which is now classified as a multiplayer demo only, since it's available to everybody. Just a quick rundown. It's an arcade racing game created by Bizarre Creations, the studio behind PGR, Project Gotham Racing Games. the gameplay style is sort of think of it like Need for Speed. So all licensed cars and, you know, the tracks, everything like, you know, looks stylized but hyper realistic still. And, Mario Kart or Crash Team Racing. What I mean is that you have power ups on tracks. Missiles, bombs, shields, you know, shockwaves, etc. And you basically try to kill your opponents with it, come first. The multiplayer lobby is where this game really shines through because, you know, I mean, yeah, Mario Kart, have you guys played Mario Kart before?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
What was the maximum number of players online? I'm talking the Wii version. That's
on
not
Wii,
the...
I think it was. I can't remember exactly. I think it was 5 or 6. I'm not sure.
Okay, so on the DS version, the one that I played, which then got ported into the Wii. Ayo. That version had 8 people online. So
then I guess Wii version also had like 8 people. Because if it was a port, then I guess they wouldn't let.
Okay. Saying that it was a
let us run on that.
But anyways, we're not talking about Mario Kart. We're talking about Blur. You have a multiplayer lobby of either 2 to 10 people or 4 to 20. So 20 people on a track, everybody blowing the shit out of each other. A lot of fun. The best part about the game is that how you unlock things. Pretty much like, you know, any modern shooter. And by that I mean Bad Company 2 or Modern Warfare 2. You have car unlocks. So you reach a certain number of experience points, which in this game is classified as fans, you unlock a car after every level. And, you know, the cars are more bigger. Not necessarily more better. Sometimes, like, let's say in C-Class, you have a Ford Focus. Start out, you know, nice grip, small little car. Not really the fastest of them all. Then you're like a Camaro. That thing is very, you know, power slide happy. So, yes, in a straight line or at launch, you'll have the upper hand. But then, you know, on corners, you're pretty much licking
screwed.
The ball. So, yeah. But anyways, that's the basic premise of the game and how it's played. Why don't you guys talk about how you felt about the game?
You hear?
Okay. The first thing that comes to like one's mind when you play this game is this is CTR, but with like real life cars.
Yes.
This is exactly like that was the first thing that popped up in my head, and now imagine CTR with 20 players on one track. That is Blur. That is Blur in a nutshell, and. It is fun. It is a lot of fun. We were playing with people who were like, I think in UK and like in Europe, and we did not have lag. There were some hints of lag, but like
sometimes,
majority of the races, there was no lag.
Through, that didn't persist through the majority of the map. I mean, started off and then, you know, it's clearly
it,
got
hits. It basically, that's what the majority of the matches are not laggy. So that's a plus point. But this is only, we're saying through the demo, so. We don't know.
Yeah, for the final one, I mean, one would hope that, you know, they have understood the server loads that they'll be experiencing and you know, just major instruments for those.
What I liked, like I guess most about this game was that when you are playing in races, like basically, like there are different tracks. Some are off road, some are like in the middle of cities, etc. On tracks, there you don't know who's going to win. He may have the a person may have the fastest car. He may have the best grip. He may have a good balance between. But you never know who's going to win, and you might be surprised. But sometimes the people who choose beginner cars are the ones who win.
Yeah, because
when they're racing against people who have cars, who have unlocked advanced cars, because each track has its own I'm blanking on a word here, but.
Distinct road handling ability is what you need. So, you know, certain tracks, like, let's say the LA docks, you have a lot of extremely tight turns, some 90-degree turns. You do not want an overpowered car where, you know, you're flying at a high speed. You'll just be crashing into walls. You need something light and nimble, like a Lotus.
And, or a Ford or something. So, I mean, even people, like, the argument does not come up here of basically having a better car. Over here,
it's all about skills.
Skill, yeah, that's true. And the person with after every match, you have these. You have these awards, which everybody which the top people get, like say most accurate person, the fastest lap, speed demon, who got the highest speed, who obtained the highest speed in a race. You have all these different kind of things, and that's actually quite interesting because. You always see for example, the person with the fastest lap, he may not always have the fastest. He may not have all the fastest car. So, it's a very thin line as to which car you have to choose at what map. You know, it's a different game and it's a lot of fun. So I will definitely pick it up once it comes out in stores. So I'm looking forward to this game. What about you guys? What's about you, Arfi?
Yeah, man, definitely looking forward to this game because, those 10 and 20 player games were just so unbelievably fun. I mean, even if you're up in second place and you get pushed down into like 12th or 13th, and you're obviously going to be swearing and stuff like that. You have so much fun. That is the main thing that I always felt in this game. I mean, from what we've played, I mean, yes, the tracks keep on getting repeated and the cars are very limited from what you can use, but it's just always so much fun. And, definitely going to be picking this one up when it comes out because...
May 21st.
May 21st. Gosh, that's a long time.
Oh, that's actually a long time.
It's over a month.
Man.
Damn.
It's over a month, but, halfway through the month, we'll be getting the Halo Reach beta.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
true. it was great because, I mean, you guys have already said it, but, you know, hark back to CTR, which on the PS1, I used to, I ate that game up.
It's nice that we all liked the Naughty Dog version of the kart racing and not Nintendo's version.
I don't know, on the N64, and on the GameCube, I enjoyed the Mario Kart a lot, but the problem was that the PlayStation 1 was so, it was so common in Dubai that it was a very, you could call it a universal kind of game. While the Nintendo 64 was more of a niche kind of a market in Dubai. So
exactly.
We never used
Nintendo
to...
doesn't care about the Middle East, so we shouldn't talk about them.
I mean, Mario Kart was a brilliant game. I mean, I would easily put it on top as good as CTR, but CTR, we never got to play Mario Kart as much as CTR. And that's why that game, at least in between us, is looked down upon rather than, like, as compared to CTR. Because the N64 at that time, the N64 at that time was not as it wasn't easily found in people's houses as the PS1 was.
Yep,
so,
yep.
I mean that's why everybody, I mean, at least we personally enjoy, can relate to CTR more.
I just, my only thing for Blur is I hope that they tighten up the servers and stuff like that, because, I mean, you know, you go on to a Battlefield Bad Company 2 server and you'll always get into a game within a few seconds. The game will have at least 10 players usually, and you're ready to go. With Blur, I found myself sitting there in a lobby by myself, no one joining, and it's just not a lot of fun, unless you get a chance to get into a game of with already like 7 to, you know, 10, 20 people. Yeah, which happens rarely with me when I'm alone. It's only when I join somebody else's game. But with Battlefield, if I'm playing alone, I'll always get into a game straight away. So, yeah, they need to learn a few things from EA.
And just more marketing to be done to that as well.
It's more, and it's also just the beta, so the finished product is...
Exactly. But, I mean, if you remember Battlefield Bad Company 2 beta, I'm sorry to make that comparison again, but that was pretty flawless as well when it came to servers and stuff like that. So, anyway. Enjoyable game, I think I will be picking it up.
First time for these guys. I mean, you know, PGR wasn't exactly known for its online prowess. So, yeah. Okay, I'm going to be quickly touching upon two iPhone games that I played this week, thanks to some recent discoveries that I made. One is Plants vs. Zombies, a PopCap game. It's a tower defense game. You have your plants that are laid out throughout the map, and then zombies come in from the right side. Sounds a bit too quirky to be, you know, good fun. But man, these guys have nailed the basic mechanics. Every game you finish, you unlock something. And it's not like, you know, you have to like reach, earn a certain number of points to unlock something. Like you win a game, you unlock something. A new type of plant, could be a new type of anything, whatever. And I think certain times you kill some zombies and then you earn money from them. And then through that money, you can buy some things. I haven't reached that point yet in the game. But man, just absolutely charming little game this is, and insanely addictive, just because the basic formula is so kick-ass.
This is continue.
I'm just going to say that, you know, I was sitting in the afternoon, I just finished playing Team Fortress 2, and then, like, my desktop was empty, so I was thinking of playing StarCraft 2, the beta. And I clicked on it, and then while searching for the game, before it even found a player, I cancelled it and then I exited the game, because I knew that I would wait and I would go through a map for like, let's say, 10-15 minutes, and then I would face frustratingly
total annihilation and destruction not get much.
The game looks beautiful, the music is absolutely great, but I think that's the kind of game that, you know, I would appreciate playing between you guys and, you know, some other friends who are not exactly, you know, Korean descendants. So it would be nice to play with, you know, regular human beings where, you know, we all are sort of, you know, just having fun. You play online StarCraft 2 right now, you will get destroyed. So I thought, you know what, screw this, I'll just play Plants vs. Zombies. Still an RTS game, but it's hard.
Are you implying that Koreans are not human? What kind of a racist are you?
They are superhumans, man. They are super. They're beyond us.
Yeah, beyond good us. Save, good save, man, good save.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, politically correct. So, Plants vs. Zombies, absolutely brilliant game. And as soon as I started, like, you know, buzzing this on Google, yeah, I use that sometimes instead of Twitter, a couple of friends, they started, like, you know, telling back their stats, like, okay, I've reached this level, this, and I've gotten these achievements. So,
and time was like, shit, I'm a noob.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is that, you know, it's interesting that things that are normally reserved for, you know, games like Bad Company 2 or other proper online games on Xbox Live or the PC, you're, you know, sort of having some fun on a portable thing. An iPhone, I do not play games on this at all, but this game, I have to make an exception. Like, I actually sort of find myself thinking about, you know, like, if I have like 5-10 minutes in between, instead of, you know, just browsing the internet, I'll just pull up the game on the iPhone and start playing it. Just a quick game or two. It's that much fun.
What was that duck in the background?
That was one of my friends calling me, and the iPhone is on vibrate, so yeah, good time. The other game that I quickly want to touch on, of course, on the iPhone as well this time, is Street Fighter 4 on the iPhone. This was released by Capcom, I think, 2 weeks ago. You would think that Street Fighter 4 on the iPhone would look weird, and you would be wrong, because this game looks absolutely gorgeous. At least the menus and, you know, the player selection is pretty much identical to what you have on the consoles. The art style, everything is persistent.
Okay, forget that. The controls. We want to know about the controls.
Okay, now this is the best part. The controls are, obviously, they're on the screen itself. So you have, like, the analog stick on the left, and you have the control buttons on the right side. So the analog stick is not like, you know, a 4-button stick. It's a full 8-button stick. So you have like up, down, left, right, you know, northwest, northeast, like that. So
it's better than the Xbox controller already.
Yes, you can say that. Cause it's pretty damn responsive. Now here's the best part. They have simplified the controls. So on the regular console, you have 2 punches and 2 kicks, like, you know, heavy and, light and medium punches and kicks. You can, string those.
I think there's heavy, Is there heavy, light, and medium?
No, heavy is there, but heavy is not assigned to the controller. So you can put it to, like, you know, one of the trigger buttons. So you can have, like, kick, light, medium kick, and heavy kick for some of the ultra combos. So what they've done in the game is that you have 4 face buttons. One is punch, one is kick, one is your focus attack, or just focus, and one is special. So herein they have simplified the basic structure of the game. So let's say I want to pull off Ryu's Hadouken. Simple, quarter circle forward and punch, that's it, done. You would do the same on the console. But here's the thing, now let's say that, you know, your super bar is filled, so you will have to do quarter forward.
Repeat that, you cut out at the end. You just repeat that.
Stop talking.
Okay, yeah. just saying that, you know, okay, the Hadouken is simple. You have a quarter circle forward and then a punch. But if you want to pull out a super move, then it's quarter circle forward twice and then both medium and light punches, right? Over here, you just need to press the SP attack. That's a special attack.
Then it'll do
the special move. Same for the Ultra. So instead of having, like, you know, light, medium, and heavy kicks or light, medium, and heavy punches, you're doing the same movement with your analog stick, like, you know, like left, right, or, you know, quarter circle forward, quarter circle back. But you're just pressing that SP button. You're not considering, like, you know, touching like 3 punches or 3 kicks or whatever it is.
Right.
Completely simplified. Focus attack is usually initiated by pressing 1 kick and 1 punch button. Over here, the focus attack is a dedicated face button.
But it works on this tiny little screen?
It works so beautifully, I cannot even tell you. No frame rate. I have a first-gen iPhone, by the way. 8X. So this is not the 3G, this is not the 3GS, this is the first-gen iPhone. Mm-hmm. Loading the games takes about 4 seconds to 5 seconds. I'm talking every match. This is what it takes to load. But between the game, it is absolutely smooth. Absolutely. The backgrounds are static, mind you. They're not like, you know, they're not animated like in the console version. Obviously, they have to save.
Of course, they have to save something, right?
But the special effects, like, you know, when you pull off the Hadouken or, you know, when you pull off the Ultra, the screen goes black and, you know, the special effects of the moves themselves are completely over there. So it is just an ideal port for a platform like this. Simplified control scheme, easy to get into. And
damn, $10. Woo!
But dude, trust me.
The game is $10.
It is worth it.
Wow.
But here's the thing. Really? I don't know whether they have like online persistent leaderboards or not, but if you have a 3GS, then you can play via Bluetooth versus. So that's one. They only have like 6 characters in the beginning and they're planning to bring out Kami as a free download soon. So.
Cool.
It's a genuinely
Game.
And
they should have the characters free downloads. They should not make them paid because you're paying $10 for the game. For an iPhone game that is.
I'm pretty damn sure that'll be. And you know what? The production values on such a small such a small handle device, a mobile phone. You're playing Street Fighter 4 on a mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
The days of playing Snake weren't that long ago.
Yes. Indeed.
Anywho, actually, it was a decade back. I'm just going to close with my last thing that I played this weekend was Super Street Fighter 4 on the PlayStation 3. I got a review copy for work. From work, rather. And this is like the retail version. It is the full
before
game.
Before you go, how many weeks back did you get this?
I got this this Tuesday.
What?
I'm not talking about the preview code, which was an incomplete version.
He's got the promo. He's got the review.
Yeah. It's the full retail disc.
Nice.
And why he hasn't shared it with us, we won't know. You know, because any of us can play it.
because I just
carry on, Temur.
So, anyways, I had one of my friends over during the weekend, and you know, he's a old school Street Fighter player. He doesn't spam like some other busters we know. So
who don't even accept that they're spamming, but okay.
Yes.
Like, who don't admit they're spamming?
They definitely don't. But here's the thing. He played it when he was really young, so he just, you know, properly remembers how to not parry attacks, but, you know, he's sort of... I'm talking about Saad, by the way. So yes. He comes down and, you know, he does his moves. He doesn't rely on ultras as much as I do. And he, like, you know, he does his, like, small EX attacks and stuff like that. He doesn't use it for... Point is that, you know, we're playing mostly with some of the newer characters. And I have to say, my favorite so far... apart from Juri, like the new mysterious evil villain girl, the Korean chick, is Hakan. He's a Turkish wrestler. The best part about Hakan, he's completely red. Like, you know, think like, what's this comic book? Hellboy. Like, you know, like, figure-wise, he's like sort of that. His ultra move is so kick-ass. He slaps Oyen Hole on himself. And grabs the opponent, and then he squeezes them like E Honda does. But then because you know he's all oiled up and shit, the opponent literally pops out of his arms into the sky. Then he jumps into the sky. No, sorry. When they fall down, he like sort of you know how you do the hula hoop runs on your waist. This is what he does to his opponents, and then he slams them into a wall. It is the best move ever. That dude walks. and he is pretty damn powerful, I must say.
I mean, the thing is it worth it over Street Fighter 4? I mean, apart from the new characters, what's different?
Characters, if you had even the slightest inclination of playing online, this game has you totally covered. You have 8-player lobbies, and what happens is that you have different modes. So, like, you know, two of you 8 will be playing. Meanwhile, all the rest of the 6 players can see the match live. Everybody's talking to each other. So it's a complete lobby. You're seeing that these two opponents fight, and then, you know, the next one goes in. Some of the modes.
What we wanted from the first one.
Now, I haven't played with, you know, full 8 players. I've played, like, you know, with 4 or 5, I think, at one time. And this was only once, mind you. And, the best part was that, now this was on the PS3, so, you know, nobody was talking. Which is sort of an understood rule by now. But anyways, sad but true. But what happened was that, you know, you have like this one mode where it's championship eliminator mode. So, you know, the best guy stays, the loser, he goes off and, you know, everybody else keeps on challenging him. Mm-hmm. Then there's an infinite mode. So what happens is that from 1 to 8, you have like these 8 characters. So, you know, the guy who wins the first one, you know, the guy who loses, he goes to the bottom of the ladder. You climb up and stuff. Point is that, you know, the online modes, at least from what I've played, there wasn't much lag. It was really robust. You have 10 new characters. Okay, not new characters, 2 new characters, 8 returning from previous games. Ibuki, Makoto, you know, Cody guy, etc. But honestly, I mean, these guys were from, what, like 14, 15 years ago they were introduced. Longer than that, in fact. So, yeah. And... if you haven't played Street Fighter 4, this is a must-buy because it's $40. But if you have, and if you wanted to play it online, then buy this. If you are just, you know, content with playing with your friends every once in a long while, then I wouldn't say it is. Okay. So that's the thing. You want to play online? You want to play competitively?
Yeah.
Online? Or, you know, you haven't played Street Fighter 4 at all? This is absolutely must-buy.
Cool. I like that they're not acting cheap and like they're actually making it $40, not a full $60, you know, purchase. So that's good.
I mean, it's good on them.
Exactly. That's one thing that may make me get it. Otherwise, no way.
Mm-hmm. I'll be picking it up because I do not have it on the Xbox. So.
Yeah, it's actually same here.
You have it on the Xbox. You want to pick it up on the PS3 because the controller is better and you can actually play it. Just saying. So yeah.
Cool.
Okay, I guess that's it for the week. Everybody, thank you all for listening to this insanely long podcast. I don't think this is our longest yet, or maybe it is an hour and a half.
No, I don't think so. I think I went to 40, 45 minutes, 1 hour, 45 minutes, I think once. So. Or maybe even 2, but anyway.
Damn, okay.
The movie one was 2, over 2.
Oh.
Actually, I wasn't involved in that.
Okay, so yeah, if you want to catch us, you can check out The Culture on iTunes. That's one word. Or thehalfingculture.com, that's the main website. Arfi, you can catch on...
every Saturday right here.
Okay, so yeah, he doesn't share his personal information. Basically, gets spammed. You can catch me and Mihir on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/mihrj and me on twitter.com/TaimurH. Or you can just, you know, subscribe to our regular Deculture 101 feed. That's Deculture 101 on Twitter. And that's it for the week. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Arfi. Thank you, Mihir.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.